guys, welcome to Call Me Whenever podcast. My name is Shanaza.
And I'm Shivani.
And yeah, that's our duo.
I must say, we have a special treat for y'all. Gabby Whiten is a New York City-based freelance digital creative and visual designer. She specializes in graphic design for content creators, modern professionals, small business owners, including lifestyle, fashion, and beauty brands. Gabby has also worked with brands like Duncan, Madewell, and Ulta Beauty to create high quality content for social. On top of all of that, she is a PhD candidate in biomedical sciences at New York University School of Medicine. Thanks for being here, Gabby.
Hello. How's everyone doing?
I'm great. I literally just actually walked through the streets of DC because right now I'm in Washington, D.C., even though I'm originally and normally based in either. You can find me in Egg Harbor Township, New Jersey, or Cambridge, Massachusetts, depending on the time of year. But I'm in D.C., and we just, like, me and my friend just, like, walked through the streets for, like, 2 hours, like, walked a couple miles in, like, 91-degree weather. So I'm sweating.
Oh, no. You know, here's the thing. I don't know if as a New Yorker I'm allowed to say this, but D.C. is one of my favorite cities, if not maybe my most favorite. So beautiful. But I, too, just did a stroll around Central Park, and it's hot. It is very hot. So I feel you.
It's like a different type of hot. It's like not like, it's not 91 degrees. It's like 91 degrees and then some, a lot of humidity or something. Like, it doesn't feel like 91.
Like, and right now there's not a single cloud in the sky. So it's like we were just going from like checkpoint to checkpoint, pretty much just trying to be in the shade. Like we were like climbing over like these fences and just like trying to find shade literally wherever we could, because like there's no hiding from like
not
the sun.
Looking for clouds. Like when you said there aren't clouds, I like looked out my window and I was like, oh word, there's no clouds out there.
And I'm let down because they said it was gonna rain. Like I at first didn't want it to rain. Like I hate packing, like in general. Well, I'm a good packer, but I hate the process of packing because I literally will sit by my suitcase and ponder all these outfits, like what I'm gonna wear, even though I end up just choosing a shirt and a top anyway. Like it's never that deep. Yeah. But I hate when it's going to rain because I can never forecast what I'm gonna wear. So now I've just chosen to like forget the rain whenever I pack and just look at degrees, because honestly I don't like wearing sneakers or any like clothes to. I usually wear sandals in the rain or like flats or something because I hate like wet socks. Like I think it's the ickiest thing ever. So
not us talking about the weather, like we really just talked about the
I know
weather.
It's such generic like, conversation, but I know why people do it now. Like I've embraced it completely.
I'm so
that's
dead.
Fair
speaking of weather, I guess I think like how's life in New York, Gabby? I mean like we live pretty close. Like, Chinaz and I, we live in South Jersey, so, like, let's not pretend that we don't know what New York City's like. But you live there, so obviously it's different. It's completely different. We can act like tourists, you know, when we walk
in.
Like, but
right.
Yeah, you know, I love a good tourist weekend. You know, I do it, too, sometimes. But, yeah, I love living in New York. It's, I feel like when I first moved here, I had such a romanticized version of what living in New York City was going to be like, just from, you know, I'm big into like movies and TV shows and
Sex in the City,
you know, Sex in the City, the bold type, all the goods. But you know, it's tough to live here. I feel like everything that is usually what I would say simple, like, you know, I grew up in Virginia, went to college in North Carolina, so, you know, I could drive to the grocery store, and I don't have my car living here, so, like, even things
that's
just, like,
hard.
Going to the grocery store, yeah, are, like, super just, it's just more difficult, you have to, like, plan everything, but no, I love New York, it's tough at the same time, but I'm glad that I decided to move here, so.
What part of New York do you live in? Like, are you in, like, Manhattan?
Yeah, so I actually just moved to the Upper East Side.
Okay.
XOXO.
Do you know what that means, Shiva? Like, I don't really know what that means.
Yeah, the Upper East Side, like, that's literally, like, anytime you go to, like, New York, that's probably where you're at. Like, that's probably where you go.
Yeah, so it's like Upper Manhattan, East Side, I guess. It's like in the name, right?
She just said that. She said it's Upper and East.
In East. I'm trying to think. Like, idea. It's like, you know, I live pretty close to the park, Central Park, and then like the Met is up here. There's a lot of museums up here. But yeah, it's a more quiet area of the city, I think, which I appreciate. But yeah.
Yeah, when
that's the awesome.
The first time I went to New York City, I mean, I went there a few times when I was very little, when I used to live in North Jersey. But South Jersey, of course, is like 2 hours from New York where we live. Mm-hmm. So like the first time I went to New York, like as an adult-ish kind of teenager, mm-hmm. was when I went to visit Columbia with my sister and my dad. Mm-hmm. And I remember going there. We went there on a Greyhound bus. Greyhounds suck. I'm sorry. Like, that, like, I will, when I get my law degree, I will be suing that company. Like, our transit was fine.
I'm screaming.
Like, no, Greyhound, like, being in Penn State, like, not Penn Station, Port Authority in New York is the crustiest experience I've ever had. Literally, like, people in, you'll see everything. Like, I've seen crackhead fights. I've been, like, asked things in the streets. I've been almost spit on. It's actually the worst. It's the worst thing ever. Like,
oh, no.
We had two crackheads having, like, a huge argument where, like, they're trying to get everybody involved. The whole crowd was getting riled up. I'm sorry for ranting about Greyhound, but this company needs to be sued. Like, yes, I did collect my reimbursement because the driver literally deserted our Greyhound. Like, completely.
Oh,
like,
no.
There's no driver to take us back to, like, where we were supposed to go in Atlantic City. So we literally had to find another way to get home. But that's not even the point of this. Sorry, guys. but we went to Columbia, and what I really liked about Columbia was, like, it seemed to, like, box off the best of the city and be, like, mm-hmm. really gated in, but the mm-hmm. sound still travels. So, like, yeah. That was, like, one thing I was like, oh, my gosh. Like, I don't think I can do this for college because it's so, like, loud. Like, it'll be hard to sleep. It'll be hard to do, like, a bunch of things. But I'm sure, like, you didn't go to college in New York, but, like, being a PhD candidate here, like, how is that transition kind of moving from, like, more, like, the South to the Northeast, I guess?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it was a big transition in that, you know, I went to UNC Chapel Hill, which is very much like a college town. Chapel Hill's super small. And then going to New York, which is, if I'm not wrong, the largest city in the States, is quite...
Correct.
I don't know. Yeah, is quite shocking. So that was kind of something to adjust to. But, you know, I love, you know, a good museum. I love culture, art, food. And I feel like New York has the best of the best. So I don't know. With all those things, I feel like it's easy to kind of find your niche and where you fit in the city.
Quick question about UNC.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I know it's a big basketball school.
Yes.
And I know Duke is one of its biggest rivals. Were the mm-hmm. basketball players cute? That's the question I had.
Because
I
so
visited
dead.
Duke.
That's
a
where
bit.
This was going. And I'm in my head, I'm like, where is this going? Like, basketball? No, we're really gonna talk three gals talking basketball? No. Three guys talking cute basketball players. Is
yeah, I'm not a basketball fan. I really was never. Like, I know some of the teams. Like, you know, there's the Clippers, there's 76ers, right? But I've never, like, I don't really watch basketball games. But when I was staying in Duke, like, senior mm-hmm. year, I was right next to the, like, basketball dorm. So that was really nice for me personally. So,
right.
So I just wanted to know.
You know, I'll say this. You know, they're good-looking boys, but, you know, there's a TikTok trend going around right now where it's like, is he hot or blank? And I feel like it's like, is he hot or does he play college basketball? You know? Like,
interesting.
Do they get added points because they're, like, you know, big athletes at school? Or,
absolutely.
Like,
are they actually attractive?
Mm-hmm,
we have a
mm-hmm.
TikTok that we made that was actually, do I like him or is he just 6'3"? So
yeah, so you know, I feel like it could be that type of thing, but also, you know,
and some of them will be now, what's it called, being in the, I was about to say the big leagues, what
NBA
is it,
oh the my NBA. God
the major league of basketball.
I think NBA. Many of them don't even, like, no offense, get drafted, you know.
Yeah, no, I feel like, you know, out of the, how many people are on the team, 10 or so, like maybe two of them end up going to the NBA. So yeah
but going back to New
yeah,
York.
Yeah, I'm sorry for taking it off track. That's not where, like, you're supposed to land.
No, going back to New York, I guess, like, what I wanted to say was, like, it kind of makes a lot of sense because I have a couple of friends that are either go to NYU or Columbia, and they all end up kind of having the same answer as you, that it's really the experience that, like, makes the whole, like, thing. Like, you don't really go to school in New York City for the education. I mean, yeah, it's great education, but you go for the experience that comes along with, like, receiving being that education, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, yeah. Being in the middle of everything, essentially. That's really what you're signing up for. Like, you're signing up for all the experiences, whether it's, like, professional experiences or just fun weekend nights and making great friends and things like that. So, yeah, I'm a big fan of the city, but I could never do New York because
you
it's just
say
too
that,
much
but
for
if
me.
You get if you go get into NYU Med, I guarantee you're going.
Yeah, because that's free tuition.
Yeah,
that's
it's free
tuition.
It's,
of course,
it just
I'm
makes
going.
Sense.
Yeah, yeah, but like that's probably like let's be real. But like Philly is like my type of like city vibe. Like I like Philly. Mm-hmm. Like I like Philly. Yeah, like DC is a great, like, it's like a good medium because it's still a city, but it's also very homey. Like, I think even like parts of Chicago kind of has that. Even Chicago might be a little too much for me, too, to be honest with you. Dallas,
depending.
Like, those type of city vibes are kind of more for me because you still get that city, but you get to like be able to settle down. Like, I could never, you come on, like, how can you settle down in New York City? Like, there's. You can't settle down ever.
Siobhan, you're just not a city girl. That's your problem.
Yeah, you know, it's crazy.
I will say, like, money is a big player, I feel
oh,
like.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, I see the little, like, Upper East Side families with, like, their toddlers and
yeah.
their strollers. And that
and
looks, like,
nannies.
Fun. Yeah, and their nannies.
And their nannies.
And I'm like,
yeah.
I would be a nanny in New York. Like, I know I have, like, a good amount of education and whatnot. But I'm sorry. I would do it. Like, I'm a part of, like, kind of like a social club at Harvard where like a lot of the alumni now live in New York and like I'm mm-hmm. a part of the alumni chain of emails and they're always looking for nannies and they all live in New York. They're like, we're looking for a nanny who can take care of these kids for the next 3 months, pays really well. I'm like, at that point, if I'm making more doing that than using my college degree, I might just do it. Like, I
might
like,
as well
I have
become
two
a
little
nanny.
Brothers.
I'm so dead.
Oh, well, that's so funny. I mean, but to be fair, like, I'll see the nannies and like, you know, they'll take the kids to the museum or, like, to the Statue of Liberty. And I'm like, you get to do all these fun things with the kids for free. So, like, and get paid. So,
yeah. It's a great you know. Lifestyle. If you get a great boss, you yeah. get a great lifestyle.
Have any yeah. of you guys ever watched The Nanny? Like,
No. I think it's on HBO Max, though.
You
now,
should.
Right?
No? Both of you guys should yeah. watch it. I feel like you'd like it, Gabby. It has a lot of fat. It's, like... It has a lot of fashion. It has Fran Drescher, who's one of my mm-hmm. favorites. And it's just a great show. I know Shivani doesn't like old TV, old movies mm-hmm. too much. Mm-hmm. She's more of a modern gal, but...
I don't even watch modern TV. That's the funny thing. I just watch reruns of, like, the Criminal Minds, and that's about it. Mm-hmm. That's where my... Mm-hmm. that's where it all ends for me, but... But no, I like a good TV show. If you're recommending it to us and the listeners, we should.
The Nanny is really good, and she's from Queens though, like so. And one of my, I know a lot about like Jamaica Queens, and that part of New York only because like mm-hmm. a lot of my roommate, like, one of my closest friends and my roommate Venus, she is from Queens. Like she lived her whole entire life in New York, and I'm not gonna.
Oh, wow.
I don't mean to like crap on New Yorkers at all, but like the New York pride is overbearingly insane and annoying. Like coming from like a place like New Jersey, whenever I come, like there's a lot of Jersey people at my school, so like we always link up and say like, oh, Jersey. But New York people are a different breed. Like if they're
no,
from New
they
York,
are.
They'll always be bringing up New York like every single second of every single day, like no matter where they are. They're like, we'll be walking through Boston and they'll be like, wow, this is so different from New York. And I'm like, I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
Boston, so that makes sense. And they'd be like, in New York, we don't do this. In New York, we just walk around. We like own our space and stuff. I'm like, okay, I get that you're from New York. But do you have to bring it up every 5 seconds?
Yeah. yeah.
She said, correct. No, but yeah, like, I think it's like a possession thing too. Cause like, every time
they're
I've
so
had
possessive
like,
over New York.
Yeah, because it's like someone will be like talk about like New York and like a New York like city resident will be like, oh, where are you from? Like, where'd you grow up? And then the person will be like, oh, I haven't actually like lived in New York City. Like, I just live like around like that area, like Long Island or something like that. And they're mm-hmm. like, oh, well, then you don't know New York City. And I'm just like, whoa, relax.
Is it really that deep?
Like, calm down.
Here's the thing. I feel like for me it's not, but it's like obviously I've only lived here for like 4 years at this point, so not that long. But I imagine people who, like, you know, grew up here, were kids here, you know, had the whole New York City childhood experience, like, that is almost like a badge of honor. Like, I feel like the kids that grow up in the city are just, like, a different breed. Really impressive people, I feel like.
Very impressive.
It's actually weird because, like, I feel like, at least from the perspective of my friends, I feel like they view me as, like, a hillbilly just because I didn't, like, grow up in New York. Like, I get that I grew up in South Jersey, but, like, we still have commerce. We have store. Like, we get around. We still walk.
No, but, like, not you if saying that.
I really feel like they don't think I have street smarts because I'm not from New York. They're like, oh, in New York, we just walk around. Like, when the crackheads were fighting, I'm not going to lie, I was laughing a little bit. My friend was like, you don't laugh when crackheads fight. You walk with a straight face. I'm like, okay, like, I'm going to be fine. Like,
No, but I think it's also because it's like a South Jersey thing, though. Like, I think it's partially to obviously do with, like, oh, like, you don't know how to do it, like, the city way. But it's also, like in Jersey, you know, like, the whole argument, like, North Jersey, South Jersey, whatever. North Jersey is obviously more populated and it's more, like, filled with, like, you don't really get much land for, like, what the house you're buying and stuff like that. And there's more land in, like, South Jersey. There's more farmland. So I feel like we've just already gained that reputation of, like, living in the middle of nowhere.
Being,
like,
every time. Which is not true.
Yeah, like, we're not hillbillies. Next to Atlantic City. Like, we're not hillbillies. But, like, I think anyone that says that you're, like, from South Jersey, like, we automatically get that, like, farmer.
It's the opposite of a, like, badge of honor.
Yeah.
Oh, a no. Badge of shame.
I mean, yeah, when I first moved here, someone said that I had a Southern accent, and I very much do not have a Southern accent, but I think it's because I said y'all. Mm-hmm. I think that was an identifier, but I was like, I really had to sit with myself and be like, I questioned my identity. I said, do I have a Southern accent? Like, I'm from
Doesn't
the South,
Doesn't everyone say y'all,
maybe.
Though? Doesn't no. everyone say y'all? Because I
they
feel
say,
like...
Shivani, they say you guys. Like, I remember when I was in North Jersey, I used to say you guys. Like, I still say you guys a lot. But coming to South Jersey, I don't even think we say y'all in South Jersey that much. I think that's really a Southern thing. Because, like, yeah. I used to say you guys, you guys, you guys. And then went to college and started saying, y'all need to do this. I'm like, I'm not Southern. Like, let me not pretend.
Southern. God, I've been saying y'all for a while. And I say you guys, too. I just include everything.
It's an identifier, though. Like, they
yeah.
Yikes. But I'm going to have to keep an eye out.
But, Gabby, how did you, like, build kind of your routine in New York? Because it's so much different being, like, I'm not to, like, I'm sure there's not a lot, other than Central Park, like, the amount of fresh air compared to, like, all the greenery in New Jersey and stuff like that, all of, or, like, in the South. Like, it's so different in New York. Like, there's a lot of walking, obviously, that is entailed, like, a lot of small shops. Super expensive, like, a lot more expensive than living anywhere else. But how did you kind of build a new life for yourself, like, moving to New York and establish a new routine, like, socially, academically, like, physically, mentally, all of that?
Yeah, so I guess for me, since I was coming in as a grad student, I did have, you know, an incoming class of, like, I think there's 50 of us that were, like, moving to the city, just starting our PhDs. And so that was a really nice, like, community to have, as well as, you know, like, student groups at school and everything. So I think it's pretty similar even for people who move here, you know, and for jobs, you know, obviously people make friends with their coworkers. So I think, like, that's, like, a good starting place. And that's definitely where I started in terms of networking and making friends and everything. But I feel like I do spend a lot of time, like, by myself. Like, I enjoy just, like, walking around the city or, you know, going to museums or, you know, just hanging in Central Park and reading or whatever. So, yeah, I think I got to see a lot of the city that way. And then I also have, you know, like, Instagram and YouTube and those things. So I've met a lot of other creators. So that's also been a really good friend network as well. But yeah, I think it's just really about, you know, finding hobbies, finding things that you're interested in, and just going out and seeking that out in the city. And that's been kind of my strategy, I would say.
Speaking of your PhD, like, I found this really interesting when we were kind of, like, you know, stalking your page.
There's no way to casually say it, Siobhan. It's okay to just stalking.
Yeah. Like, obviously, you're very much so into media, graphic design, and, like, doing all of that. And there is a similarity, because actually, like, at my school, we have this one major that's actually, oh my god, I forget what it's called, but essentially combines like graphic design and drawing and science. And mm-hmm. that major is really for like the textbooks and like creating mm-hmm. those figures and things like that. So I definitely see that similarity. But for you, was there like some type of like change, would I say? Because, you know, you're getting a PhD in biomedical sciences, which is mm-hmm. amazing. You know,
maybe you can also like you and Shivani can have actually a conversation about that because she's really
I'm in STEM, so I'm getting, obviously Chinaz and I both are undergrads, so I'm studying biochemistry mm-hmm. and psychology,
right?
And pursuing medical school. So like for mm-hmm. me, I was like, oh my god, we're like she's she's, you know, like getting a why, like I just curious,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
what made you kind of take that route?
Yeah, so I feel like I've always been a math and science person, like, you know, in high school, I don't know, I was just always good at it, and it was something that was really interesting to me, and that's kind of why I pursued it in undergrad, so I was a biochem major as well.
Biochem major, stand up.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sitting.
It's ridiculously good.
Let me take several seats, but
I put several seats down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but when I was an undergrad, I got a scholarship to go to UNC, and the scholarship's goal was to increase underrepresented groups in STEM, and or I guess like higher education graduate programs, mm-hmm. so medical school, pharmacy school, dental school, PhDs. And so I kind of like, you know, was all over the place in undergrad in terms of, you know, at first I went in and I wanted to be a pharmacist. And then I was like, why do I want to be a pharmacist? Like, I don't know. That just doesn't seem like interesting yeah. enough to me for mm-hmm. like a day to day career type things. And then I was like, oh, maybe I'll go to med school and do an MD PhD because I knew I really liked research just from my different research experiences mm-hmm. on campus. And then I was like, actually, I do not want to be a doctor because I did, you know, some shadowing hours and I was like, this seems like I don't want to do this. And
on an everyday basis. Yeah.
Yeah. On an everyday basis. Yeah. Like super interesting. But I was like, actually me being the physician that's in charge of, you know, caring for these patients, I just didn't feel like that was necessarily the right fit for me.
Right.
So that's how I ended up going, you know, solely on that research path.
Biomedical sciences. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I love that. I actually am quite the opposite. Like, not for anyone listening, you know, I love research, but, you know, that's not really like my main thing. Like, I've been in labs, and for me, I'm just like, you know, I can do this, but I can't do this every day. Like, I don't see myself in the lab every day. Like, mm-hmm, I think I would mm-hmm. like low-key lose my mind. Like, right. That's just something not for me. So that's actually so interesting. I actually had a question. This is kind of off topic, but I'm just curious, like, how you feel about this, because I actually had a conversation with like my trainer at the gym, because he wants to be like, he's a nursing student, and mm-hmm. even for any pre-health like student, like especially like med students, pre-med and like pre-PA, there's this requirement mm-hmm. nowadays, these past couple of years, there's another like niche that you layer. Kind of have to fit layer, and that's research, you know, you have to mm-hmm. be published and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So like, how do you feel about that? Because my opinion is a little like, you know, it's great, you know, you should dabble in it to know whether you're interested or not, but I also have heard this new perspective that I did not really think about, and that's that you're kind of taking like a future scientist, like a true like a person that really wants to be in the lab for the rest of their life, you're really mm-hmm. taking those spots away, like whether they're intern, like summer interning, or being in the lab as an undergrad trying to build connections. I think a lot of these pre-health students are now required to do that, but now we're taking those seats away from those that truly want to like pursue a PhD or like go into research, whether they want to like work in the lab or do something mm-hmm. more. And so how do you see that, or do you think that there is availability for everyone to get in the lab and do research?
That's a great question. I feel like it's quite layered of a question because I do think it's important for pre-health students to have a research background. I think it's maybe more important that they learn more how to interpret papers and interpret data and how that connects to the clinic. I would say is a more relevant experience for them to have. But I also think, you know, in the landscape of science, like, to put it straight, like, some PI, some scientists, principal investigators, so, like, my boss, like, simply just won't take students who want to do pre-med because he's like, you know, I want to train, well, my PI doesn't say this, but hypothetically, other other PIs are like, you know, I don't want to train someone that wants to be an MD. Like, I want to train people who want to go into science. So yeah, you'll run into that as well. And then, you know, there's programs specifically designed for people who maybe want to go more that clinical focus and hear, like, research opportunities for them. So, you know, I think there's opportunity for everyone to kind of get that experience. I just think that the way that they approach training those two groups should be a little bit different just based on how you would use that experience later on in your career. But yeah, it's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's super interesting. Sorry, Chinaza. What were you saying?
I was just going to say, I have a special place in my heart for people who strictly want to do, like, the research aspect of science. Like, your PhD candidates casually who are doing research PhDs in the biomedical sciences, or people who, like, want to expand in, like, scientific research. Because, like, I think especially in college, when people hear, like, that someone is doing, is majoring in biochemical engineering or something like that, or something science oriented that's anything to do with biology or chemistry, they just assume that they're going to, like, be a doctor. They want to be a doctor.
Med school. Oh, yeah, it's no, like, an immediate reason anybody connection
would want to bore themselves with biology and chemistry research if not for, like, some higher purpose of, like, treating patients or something like that. But I always love seeing people who are like, no, I genuinely just like researching, because we need that. Like, I think people
need that in this, like, country. Like, we
especially
really do.
Like, people of color too in this in those spaces, because I think, like, I'm sorry, but like COVID, like, the vaccines, like, those were the PhDs who were doing the work behind that. Like, like, Fauci was great. He was, like, a great, like,
spokesperson.
He did a lot
of work. He was literally a great spokesperson.
Yeah, he was a great spokesperson, but there are real scientists behind that, like, that need to be there doing that work in order for it to be possible.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Although I do know some MDs who now only have research labs, so who's to say?
Yeah, I think it's, like, interchanging, but I just find it interesting because, like, I definitely think that there are a few, like, pre-health, like, students that I've had this conversation with. Like, I agree with you. I think research, being in the lab, like, now, I see that, like, okay, like, it's important. Like, I'm glad I'm getting this experience. I don't think I will be a fan of it. Maybe in 5 years, if I find something that I'm truly passionate in, I'll enjoy it a lot more. But I think that it's just very interesting to see that difference between, like, those that want to be in a clinical setting, like, how much of a distaste they have for being in the lab, and vice versa, you know, those that are in their little, like, you know, in the room doing what they need to do, like, there for hours, they also don't want to, you know, go the other route either. And we need both. I think that's the biggest thing. It's like, we can't just have everyone pursuing, like, you know, like, pre-med or pre-PA, pre-nursing, all that. Like, we need people to actually, like, do research in the United States. Like, I feel like we're really lacking in that. So I just found that interesting. Let me stop talking about science. Let's get back to graphic design.
But I did want to pivot into one of the things that captivated me about you is, like, your love for graphic design. Because me, myself, I probably haven't stepped out as much to, like, pursue it as, like, a side kind of track for myself. I've always kind of really loved, like, graphic design and art.
Right.
And, like, even, like, when me and Shivani were part of, like, an organization called Future Business Leaders of America in high school, and we did a lot of, like, there were a lot of competitive events that let students kind of delve into different projects and presentations. And I did graphic design, I think, my sophomore year, and, like, then did website design the next year, because I was like, I've been really interested in, like I'm always interested in kind of the balance of images and making things aesthetically pleasing and creating brands and things like that. Like, I loved creating logos. I've probably made, like, several of them. Like, I made the logo for our podcast, actually, and so I really, really like that kind of work. So I really love seeing like fellow graphic. I don't consider myself a graphic designer, so I just like graphic design, but I love meeting graphic designers who like have stepped out to actually like pursue that as well, because being a PhD candidate is not easy. I've watched mm-hmm. many YouTube channels, because I'm not a PhD candidate, probably never will be, about like mental health and like balancing right. that with PhD. But you do that and you do brand design work, and so how do you balance all of that, and how did you kind of step out, I don't want to say step out on a limb to also do graphic design, but also like prioritize that in your life?
Yeah, so I feel like it's more of prioritization. Is that
prioritization? Yep, yep, you got it.
Oh, that's a weird word. I don't like okay. that. But I feel like it's more, I feel like it's more about priorities than it is about balancing, for mm-hmm. me at least. Obviously a PhD is a lot of work, but you know, that mental health bit is, you know, I need something outside of that to keep me from going off the rails, you know? So I think a lot of my creative endeavors have been a lot to like keep me wholly balanced, I guess. Or at least I'm not always like, oh, I wonder like how my project is doing right now, like on a Saturday. Like I really need to just like remove myself from that. And so I feel like channeling it into other things has been really helpful for me, especially, you know, the creative things. I will say that, you know, a big part of my graphic design journey, or at least into making it a side hustle, was, you know, I did a lot of stuff just for my own channels and my own brand. So it really wasn't until someone else approached me and said, I really love everything that you're doing. Like, have you ever thought about, you know, doing this for other people, or like, you know, being paid? And that's kind of really when I sat back and I said, one, do I have time for that? And two, like, how would I even go about like charging people, or like, you know, how do
all
you
all those things, right?
All the business aspects of it. So, you know, then it just started becoming more frequent, where people would really be like, oh, like, do you make logos? Do you do web design? What did that, you know?
And you kind of just start saying yes.
Yeah, and then I think at one point, you know, when I really had someone approach me where, you know, I really liked, you know, the concept that they wanted for their brand, or, you know, I really liked their podcast or their blog or their YouTube channel, and I really felt like I could connect with that brand as a designer, that's when I finally said, like, yeah, I think I could do something for you. And that's kind of how it took off and how it started. But yeah.
Speaking of graphic design, so like, now like that you've like talked more about like, you know, how you kind of got into it, like I'm curious, because as Shanaza said, like, she's created the logo. I suck at graphic design. Like, I literally suck at it. Like,
I mean,
when
you
started,
suck a lot less now.
Yeah.
I'm so like practice, as in you're actually quite good.
Yeah, practice makes I mean perfect, you know what I'm saying? So like something that we Chinaz and I have like established with our podcast is that like we do everything like 50-50. So like we take turns doing everything, like editing, doing the marketing and whatnot. So when we first started, I sucked. Like, I genuinely, like, it was so bad, and like we both knew it was bad, but Chinaza was gracious enough to like let me post it, like, so I could get the practice in. So like 3 seasons in, like now, like I'm pretty good. Like, I'm not that bad. I have a few posts that sometimes I'm just like whatever about, but like most of them are pretty decent. But we use Canva. Like, that's like that's how I know like how to do anything. Like, if you gave me like, I don't know, one of those actual
like
graphic
Adobe,
design,
like the Adobe kind of series,
yeah, if you gave me Adobe, like, oh, I don't even know how to do that. So so like, do you have like a software that you tend to use? Do you like Canva? Are you not a fan of Canva?
Some people,
what
are
your feelings?
Some does creatives are really not against it, but like kind of see like, oh, you use Canva, like that's not the actual, and that to some extent, like, there's obviously bounds to what Canva can do, but
I mean, okay, so here's the thing. I feel like, where do I start with this? So I took a class in undergrad that was for graphic design, where we were taught how to use the Adobe software. So, you know, Illustrator, Photoshop,
the whole
Premiere,
series,
InDesign, the whole thing, you know. So I really love the Adobe suite for that purpose, but that's because I know how to use it.
Also,
though, you know, when I'm designing Instagram story templates or, you know, Instagram post templates or anything for my clients, you know, I deliver it to them as a Canva template that they can use, because it really is such a easy, seamless accessible tool,
yeah,
that like anyone can use.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they keep adding features to it. I mean, you can pretty much do a lot on Canva, be frank. Like, for people who are not doing like heavy design or vector illustration or anything like that, I feel like Canva's perfectly fine. So, yeah.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. Like, I literally started out on this like website for when I used to make logos, like for all the stuff I did in high school. I used this thing called like Logo Maker online. Mm-hmm. Like, it was not that big, and then I download the logo from there and then expand upon it using Adobe Photoshop or like another kind of editing thing, and I still do that today. It works out pretty well. Like, I have to use shapes and change things a bit, but like, I think it's the best way to like remove white space cleanly and like make sure the logo is actually high quality, because I think people don't realize, like, if it's not high quality, like wherever you stamp that logo, it's gonna look kind of crusty. It's gonna kind of take away from the brand a little bit. So yeah. I think that those are some of the things that I've kind of learned. But like, I guess like in your process of like creating like brands, like learning how to create brands for people, like what are some of the challenges you faced in terms of like not like client horror stories or anything, but more so like trying to decide like, okay, this is a brand that I'm creating for someone, like this will now kind of inform how they do all the things that they're able to do with this campaign, like whether it's for like the bigger things you've done for like Ulta and the smaller things you've done for like small businesses?
Yeah, so I think, you know, obviously for my brand work, it's usually they're looking for something very particular, and that's less about branding for them and more about, you know, taking Ulta's already existing brand
components.
Already taking that and making content that fits that that brand. And a lot of that is, you know, for social. So it's social media content. So it's Instagram posts, it's content that they use for their social channels, that type of thing. So I find that to be honestly easier, really, because most of the time these brands are reaching out to me because they know that my content will fit with their brand story. Mm-hmm. I find that, you know, my clients where I'm actually building out a full branding for their, you know, podcast or business or whatever is much more difficult, because it really is kind of taking something that doesn't exist and creating and it.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, very exciting. It's definitely a challenge, which I think is part of the reason that I like more branding projects. But yeah, so I think, I don't even remember what the question was. But
it's fine. It's just honestly a launching point to talk about all the amazing graphic design stuff you do. Because, like, even we're always looking for tips, too. Because, like, we're also trying to, like, continue to, like, expand our own brand and think about different ways to be versatile with it. So an expert like you, maybe you don't consider yourself an expert because you kind of, like, walked into this aspect of it.
Yeah, you should you should visit our Instagram.
And give us some pointers, like, on things we can do. Because, like, right now we have, like, our color scheme. That's pretty much how I work off of it. Like, I know we could do more to be a more concise brand. Like, I know keeping your brand to within a few fonts is something that obviously keeps it cohesive. Like, right now we're just kind of working off of our three colors, like pink, blue, and green. And if it's in that camp, I'm like, that's good enough.
Right.
Like, I like, teeter-totter between, like, wanting the post to be very dynamic and kind of change over time, and then also being like, maybe we should transition into like a more concise brand so that it's more like noticeable. So I like go between the two a lot.
And I think for me it's kind of, you know, because I'm not, I guess, professionally trained as like some graphic designers are. Like, I even, you know, don't really know if I feel comfortable being called a graphic designer either, just because, you know, it's not like my academic training was not in design.
Yeah.
You know, I've taken courses, I've watched a whole bunch of YouTube videos, you know, I've read books and things. But obviously I'm still learning too as I move through projects and more things come out. But yeah. Again, I lost my train of thought.
It's okay.
Oh no. What was I talking about? What?
We were just talking about our kind of brand and graphic design.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Okay, yes. So I feel like a lot of it is visual. So, you know, what fonts and what colors you use. But I think it's also, it goes beyond that. So it's like, you know, when someone comes on your page, what is the feeling that you want them to have? Like, what are the words that you want them to describe your page with? Mm-hmm. And then that's, and then you go from there. At least that's my approach. Because, yeah. you know, some people want, you know, a very bright, colorful, you know, exciting, dynamic kind of page. Some people want it to be more minimalistic, more, you know, yeah. sophisticated, more. And so it very much depends on, like, you know, your ideal audience, who you're trying to get to see your content or right. interact with your content. So that's what I tell people to think about a little bit when they're kind of struggling with those elements. But yeah.
And you really only have like 5 seconds to capture someone's kind of attention to the page, which is like something to always think about, that people, and consumers are ruthless. And like, I think that for me, it's when you're on the kind of design aspect of it, you don't think that way. You're like, oh, they're really going to like this little accent on the side. I'm like, mm-hmm. they're not even looking at that little accent. Like, the detail matters, right. but it's mm-hmm. really the whole picture, like, of it. Because, like, when I'm going through people's page, it's a scroll, 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 and then slide to the left, and I'm, like, on the next page, right? Like, we'll get distracted and go through, like, the rabbit hole of going through a million different tagged posts where I don't even know where I am by the end of it. But, like, I think that that's something to keep in mind. And before we wrap up, I'd love to know, like, you guys should definitely visit Gabby's page. What's the at again for everyone, all of our listeners?
Gabby Whiten. Just my
yes.
name. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes, please visit her page because the aesthetic is on point. Like, I'm really not going to lie.
Thank you.
My Instagram can be looking a little choppy sometimes, not really makes sense, but hers is, like, really, like, very unified and like it looks so beautiful. It makes me want to live in New York, even though the rats, like the just the sheer size of those rats that can swallow me alive, like that's not something that I might do. Maybe I will, but who knows at this point. But her Instagram definitely makes me want to live in that city. Do you use Lightroom or like which, like what kind of editing software, like just a little inside scoop for the listeners, like what do you use to like make your photos look so bright and crisp?
Yeah, so I used to use Lightroom. I used to use my own presets, self plug, they're still available on my website. But now I use the Tezza app.
Oh, okay.
For pretty much everything, my feed, my Instagram stories, the whole pizzazz. But yeah.
Okay, check awesome. That out, guys. And there's one more thing that we always do, a tradition that we do on CMW podcast, where we sing a song with the guests, typically towards the end. And I think New York State, not a whole song, by the way. It's like, like we're not over here. Like, and minutes. I also am not imagine a trained singer or anything. I think people always like they gasp when we say it, like, oh, we're not about to like trap you into choir. Like,
oh man, I was like, do I even remember lyrics of songs? What's happening?
You got this. Do you know New York State of Mind by Alicia Keys and Jay-Z, is it?
Yeah.
Like, we can just do the chorus part of it, because I don't even remember the rap. Like, sorry, Jay-Z. Don't remember.
Sorry.
And Siobhan is going to join in, too.
It's a great song. Usually, Chinoz is the one that, like, sings, and I'm the one that vibes.
Okay.
So, you can do a little bit of both, whatever you're right. comfortable right. with.
Don't feel any pressure.
You know, I feel like I'm going to vibe.
Okay,
mostly
let's
because
go.
I don't know what my singing voice would sound like on this
oh,
podcast.
Oh, it's fine. They're all going to be combined. It's a cool effort. It's a cool effort, guys.
All right.
In New York, concrete jungle where dreams are made of. There's nothing you can't do. Now you're in New York.
New York.
Oh, okay.
Okay. What? Okay. I heard it in my background. I was like, that's not me. Like, what's that backtrack?
That's not me. I'm dead. That was awesome.
Wow.
That was my favorite.
Fun.
No, we had so much fun talking to you, Gabby. Like, we learned so much about, like, just all the different things you do. And I really encourage all the listeners to check out her pages. If you need work done, hit up Gabby to do that kind of work. Because I seriously, I could totally see you, like as you grow your page and, like, grow your, like, brand and everything, just becoming, like, such a force. Even though you don't consider yourself a graphic designer. Like,
that's so really sweet. Thank you.
It's the 21st century. You can do anything.
Thanks.
Of course.
So other than your Instagram, do you have any other, like, links? Or I know you mentioned your YouTube channel. Like, now's the time. Drop everything so our listeners can, you know, rush and find you.
Yeah. You know, I do have a lifestyle blog, which is gabbyinthecity.com. But if you go to my Instagram, Gabby Whiten, and you click the link in bio, it'll take you to all of the things. TikTok, YouTube. Yeah. So.
Okay, awesome. And for let's drop some things for our own podcast. Yeah, so you guys can find us on Instagram at Call Me Whenever Podcast. You can listen to us on all platforms. Search us on Spotify, Call Me Whenever Podcast, Apple Podcasts. Review us on Apple Podcasts. Let us know what you think. Shoot us an email with some critiques or what you liked, what you didn't like.
If you're interested and in joining.
Yes, anything. And as always, call us whenever. Bye, guys.
Love you.